John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network. I welcome my colleague Liz Peek, writes a column at The Hill, at Fox News, and much on Fox Business, to comment on the economy and the recovery. The envy of the world, the United States of America. The numbers suggest that the growth ahead of us is going to rival anything we saw in the 20th century. We're coming out of an artificial recession, except there are questions. First, the good news. Liz, there are no houses for sale. And in any way, there's no lumber to build the houses that are not for sale. In any way, there are no workers to afford the lumber they can't find, to build the houses they can't sell, they can't find room for. In fact, everything in America is now jammed up and there's none of the above. Come back later. The lines are getting longer. Is this good news? I can't tell. Good evening to you, Liz.
Good evening, John. Yes, I think it is. The good news is that there is such demand, and it's not particularly good news that there are shortages that are sort of blocking our recovery, not blocking in any serious way, but certainly a little bit of a downbeat note in an otherwise extremely positive scenario. All industries are recovering at this point, even the airline industry and others that were sort of the last to be let free, if you will. Probably the cruise industry is the last one actually to get the go-ahead to recover. But, yeah, we have, you know, booming demand across the board because people haven't spent their money in a year, because two-thirds of American households had almost no impact from COVID. Nobody in their family lost their job or lost their income, because we have a $25 trillion increase in consumer net worth over the past year because of surging housing prices and stock prices. So people have the means to spend. Low-income people have gotten all these checks from the government, and appears that they're spending them, not saving them. We have $2 trillion of excess savings, so people who haven't got checks have a lot of money. So there's tremendous pent-up demand, John. And, you know, as governors and mayors take the lid off their local economies, people are going out and about. The mobility indices show that people are going out to eat. They're going to travel. I don't know about you, but this sounds sort of silly, but nearby roads like Big 684, which is a north-south main road in northern Westchester, is just crammed on the weekends now. And, you know, a good 4 months ago, there was nobody on that road. So there really is a tremendous uptick in activity of spending. And the only, again, sort of slowdown, speed bump, if you will, certainly inventories of all kinds of products are very, very low. I was looking at a chart earlier where a bunch of economists asked companies about their inventory levels, and they are off the charts low. I mean, every industry is complaining. And in some of these instances, as we know, like semiconductor shortages have really caused problems for automakers. I haven't ever really gotten to the heart of why manufacturers allowed semiconductor supplies to get so profoundly low. Certainly demand has been ratcheting up as cars become more electronic, but it is an interesting feature of this past year that now auto companies are having to cancel production runs because they simply can't get the parts they need. Anyway, that is, I think, a minor and temporary issue. Generally speaking, our economy is racing forward. And as a result, earnings are extremely good. They're up 30% or more in the current quarter. And we're now, you know, we're in the earnings seasons. And I think something like 85% of companies have beat their forecast. And that's one reason the market's been so strong. It's just a really, really positive outlook.
Is it important that the banks are not only beating the forecast, but they're humbling it, plus 50, plus 80%? Is that because it was difficult to calculate bank earnings during the artificial recession? Or does that tell us that there's demand now for loans, that people are investing in growth? Can we tell?
Well, it's partly that, but it also, bank earnings were tremendously boosted by the fact that they reversed some of the loan reserves that they took against bad loans. You know, everyone was so worried about businesses failing last year because of COVID. The banks took pretty good safeguards, reserves against those bank expected losses, and they didn't materialize. I mean, again, an awful lot of the economy really kind of sailed through this weird artificial recession in pretty good shape. And yes, it's been devastating to millions of Americans. I don't mean to downplay it at all. But for a lot of businesses, and particularly big businesses, they were not so severely impacted that they defaulted on their loans. So the banks are in good shape. There's tremendous investment banking activity, lots of SPACs being formed, as you probably know, the special purpose vehicles that allow all kinds of companies to raise money very quickly and without all the cumbersome regulations of an IPO. That's very, very strong. It's gotten a little bit less strong lately, just the last week, because the regulators are beginning to take a tougher line on some of the activities in that market. But look, there's a lot of financial activity going on because there's tremendous, tremendous amount of money sloshing around. That's really kind of the bottom line. And is it leading to a speculative bubble? That is what everyone's wondering. Possible outcome that could be a little negative here is that stocks are overpriced, Bitcoin is overpriced. You've seen some pretty crazy things going on in the stock market. And the second thing, of course, is inflation. And, you know, what are the signs of inflation? Why are people actually getting anxious about this? Well, in the PMIs, the purchasing manager indicators last week, for example, from manufacturing in the big ones are at the Empire State and also Philly, so Pennsylvania and New York State. And both of those indicators showed a real uptick in price activity, price ability for manufacturers. Manufacturers feel increasingly confident that they can raise prices and that they are raising prices. Ditto small businesses. The NFIB recent survey shows that small businesses are also raising prices. The core CPI numbers, which came in last week, show a 4% month-to-month annual rate increase in March. And that's much above what we've had over the last two or three years. Excuse me. And also we're seeing import prices, which went up 9% on an annualized basis. So there are some real signs that price increases are here and not worrisome now. Most economists are saying, you know, this is temporary. By next year, they'll be over. I think that's true unless you get into a situation where shortages of workers mean that wages go up a little bit, and then manufacturers and other service companies, too, begin to raise prices. And then you get into this cycle where workers are demanding wage increases because prices are going up. That's where you get into a problem. And right now, no one, I'd say very few people expect that to happen, but it is definitely kind of on the outskirts of potential outcomes, something to be looking at.
Our trading partners, Asia, China's reporting tremendous growth.
Huge,
unbelievable, yeah. Tremendous growth. Okay, fine. Park that aside. Europe is struggling, however. Struggling with the virus, struggling with vaccine nationalism, struggling in general after Brexit. Is that an inhibition to our growth, that our European trading partners are not where we are?
Sure, but right now China's more important. And with our own growth and China, Europe is not just a footnote, certainly, but it is not going to deter us from posting pretty big increases. And Europe will come out of this. I mean, their economic indicators are looking better, actually surprisingly better, in the last couple of weeks. The data shows that they are enjoying an upturn despite the headline problems that they've had with their vaccination program, which is really kind of classic EU inability to wade through the bureaucracy. I mean, that's really what's holding Europe back on so many different fronts, including putting COVID in the rearview mirror, which we haven't done totally, but at least we're pretty far along that road. Europe can't seem to manage that. But I think, John, I think that you'll see Europe accelerate towards the end of the year. That'd be my guess, and be a positive influence in 2022.
And inflation, you mentioned it. Right now, I do not see that headline anywhere. And, of course, inflation is you don't see it until it's too late to stop it. So what is it that you're watching for personally, Liz? Are you watching for jobs demand, increase in salaries, prices? Where will you suddenly say to yourself, you know, it's going to be a problem next year?
Well, all of the above, because it's here now. I mean, we're seeing it
yes,
already
yes.
in terms of the increases. The question is, levels and expectations. Expectations, as you can read them from the marketplace, are definitely increasing. What'll be interesting is what the Fed does about all of this. Whether, you know, they have said they're comfortable with an overshoot of the 2% inflation number. Are they comfortable with 4? I mean, if we end up the year with prices, you know, continuing to go up at a 4% annualized rate, is that something the Fed's going to take note of? I also think, John, that people are overly pessimistic about unemployment. Unemployment, from what I see, is coming down pretty rapidly. And we have this weird thing now where some workers are not going back to work because they're getting unemployment benefits that will go through September and will keep them from reentering the workplace. It's really extraordinary. Democrats are totally ignoring this in policymaking, but in small businesses and big companies, every survey I see says that they're having a hard time hiring people. So, yes, we have millions out of work, but guess what? There's 7 million jobs available, and at the moment, there are not enough people stepping up to take those jobs. So I think you could get a wage price push. You've actually seen some companies, I'm now forgetting whether it was Amazon, Walmart, recently increase prices. That's always a tell. That means they can't hire enough people. And so it also means that they may be battling local union issues. But if you begin to see more of these wage hike announcements, I would take that as a pretty anxious signal that we might be in this sort of cycle of repeated wage hikes and price hikes.
Liz Peek, columnist at The Hill, columnist at Fox News, much on Fox Business. We're going looking for the trillions and trillions when we come back. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network.